views and commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. Today's a Monday. If you want to call in for me and my incredible, exceptional, beautiful guest.
They know just off the bat who it is.
We're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. And this morning, I have the wonderful Melissa Burnett in the studio with me. My Monday client had to transfer to be the Friday guest, so Melissa is gracefully stalking me.
Let's be real here. He comes and sits in my office. He lets me, you know, unwind and give a rant for about 2 minutes, and then he goes, "Hey, by the way, if you got time, I could use you." Yeah. I'm like, "Where's your guest?" "Not here."
That's how it works. She knows my modus operandi. Yeah. I make her feel good. You know, I go Dr. Phil with her for a few minutes.
You do.
Oh, by the way, get your butt in here.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, nice catch there.
Yeah. But, hey, I've got something for you. Question.
Mm-hmm.
Would the school district board say yes or no as a resolution to the Mancho trucking? Would you guys get involved in that?
Heck no, we would not get involved, and thank God we don't have to. I am sitting there last couple of weeks, and man, we've been going through some pretty tough things on the school board, right? Let me tell you, it's been hard, and everything that we've been dealing with, and then I went and sat in on the borough meeting the other night for a Manco reconsider of the resolution, and
you were texting me.
I was texting you, and I just, it's a lot. I'm so glad that that's not a decision the school board even has to touch. And honestly, I'd probably say the school board would, it'd probably be a split just like it is now. Like, that's a lot. There's a lot to take into consideration with Manco, to be honest. There really is. So I get where the public is coming from. I get where the other side is coming from. It's like, I'm glad that's not my choice.
I look at it and I say to myself, we did something similar earlier.
Yeah.
We built a pipeline.
Right.
And all the pipe that came up out of Valdez across, you know, up from Valdez up to Prudhoe Bay, but they'd bring it here. Big trucks hauling it up.
And it worked out.
Yeah.
And it worked out. So, you can say a lot. Mm-hmm. You can assume a lot.
But until you see it,
you don't know.
Yeah.
And so, I err on the side with this of it's not illegal. You know, Manco, Kinross, Black Gold, they've done their research. They've done the work. They are listening. I give them kudos for that. They were all there at that assembly meeting, and they've been at prior ones. They are listening. They're taking into consideration everything that comes back to them. So kudos for that. I am all for money coming in. We need it. So could there be something better? Sure. Is there? No. So we just have to wait and see.
Yep.
That's where we're at. That's a lot. I'm glad that's not a school board choice. I sat through some pretty passionate, props going out to everybody out there who came to that borough assembly meeting Thursday and testified. Not a single person cried. Not a single person was over dramatic with it. It was facts. It was, look, this is what I'm worried about. This is what I see. You even had the pavement guy come in. A pavement expert was there and gave his take on it. And
what was his take?
His take was pretty much mine. Wait and see. He agreed that things were where they should be, but it's a wait and see kind of thing. You can talk all day about road repairs and bridges being damaged, and until we see it. You know, they're saying what a truck is going to come by every 7 minutes, I think is what they're saying. Well, let's see that. Let's see what happens. And, you know, hopefully the companies will be willing to pitch in for any repairs that do need to be done. So it's a lot.
We live in interesting times, don't we?
We do live in interesting times.
So what made you go to the Borough Assembly meeting?
Oh, really? Of course we're going to go there. School funding. They had
Fairbanks, she saw me just laughing at her, big smile on my face.
So they had a resolution for consideration for school funding to resolve to give the schools no less than a certain amount of money, which is somewhere around $30 million, which is $3.4 million that the mayor had previously talked about giving to the schools this year. So they have a resolution up for consideration that I went to go speak on, just so that they will put it through for consideration. That's all it was that night. It did get tabled for now, but it will come back up. I do believe I saw in the paper this morning, April 13th is when it'll come back up. So, but I was there just to, you know, give my 3 minutes on, look, we're good neighbors. We are partners. You know, we have a bunch of buildings and teachers, and just be thoughtful and think of us when it comes to your budget season, pretty much is what I said. I didn't ask for a dollar amount. I just want them to understand that we're in a delicate situation and we understand they're also in a delicate situation.
What time did you arrive there? What time did you finally get to speak at?
I arrived at about 5:20, 5:30. I got there, put my name down. I did not get to speak until almost 10 o'clock. It was a long night. Long night of Manco. That's what it was. Another long night of Manco.
Manco too.
Yeah, I think that was a good 2 hours of just the resolution. So I'm glad that's not my school board meetings. It was during COVID, which I was not part of that. But so, yeah, but we got funding coming up from the borough. So not only are they doing Manco and all the other ordinances and resolutions that they got, but they also got their budget season coming up. And, you know, the school district is coming at them for their money. And everyone else is going, hey, look at us, too. So
how are you guys looking?
Oh, well, we passed a resolution. $222.4 million is about what we're going to need for next year. 3.46 is what we're asking from the assembly. We're about $17 million in debt. So
I'm a bottom line type of person.
Mm-hmm.
How is this budget going to get more students in the class for more funding from the state BSA?
That's a good question. I wish April Smith was here. April is really good with these kind of questions.
Because that's what you need.
Yeah, more students.
You need more students to come back.
Well, so I know that the school district is doing a really good job right now with what I like to call competitiveness, especially with Best Homeschool and with social media getting out there with parental contact. Mm-hmm. I know that the outreach for parents has been greater lately over the last 4 months, which has been really awesome. Right now, with our budget, the classrooms are going to fill up. That's the way it is. And we're hoping.
We have less classrooms.
We have less people. Classrooms. I mean, they're filling up. So that's how we get more bodies, right? People realize, we're hoping that will be a realization. Like, hey, we have classes that are filling up right now.
Mm-hmm.
We're having to downsize to fix our budget. So we have more students in classrooms, less teachers. Hopefully that's a leverage for people to want to, hey, our schools need your students. We need you. We need these students in our rooms, even in our homeschool programs. You know, come over from Raven. Come over from Iditarod and enroll in Best. The more students we have in our programs, the more funding we'll get. Then we can lower the classroom sizes that with more teachers. You know, my biggest fear next year is the secondary PTR that we have right now.
Mm-hmm.
That is something that did not end up back on the budget, and it is my first duty to get it put back on, because secondary PTR, you start slicing into that, you're talking music classes. You're talking choir, art.
How do you think the governor's parental rights bill is going? Would that help? Would that help school districts?
I think so. I do. I know that we already do a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
We already have a lot of the parameters that he's asking for, especially here in Fairbanks, right? Here at the Fairbanks North Suburban School District, we do a really good job already of notifying, making sure parents are involved. You know, the other key to that is, like I stated earlier, with the outreach, it's hard to get parents involved, right? So the governor's bill's one piece of it. The district's implementing it is another piece, but those parents need to also engage.
You know, it always gets me. It doesn't matter what side of the equation you're on for, say, transgender rights.
Mm-hmm.
When did it become a policy of not informing the parent about any medical or anything to have done a procedure on any touching a medical procedure on a child under 18 without involving the parents?
I'm unaware that that's actually happening.
Good.
I have a student who's, you know, type 1 diabetic. Parents are notified.
Okay.
And they're told when things are happening. And when you fill out your parental packets as well at the beginning of each year, you opt in and opt out of certain things at school.
But it's up to the parent.
It's up to the parent, absolutely. And the schools do notify.
Okay.
My
parents were notified a lot, but yeah. It wasn't about, you know, it wasn't because I needed a medical procedure. Come get your kid.
Yeah, come get your kid. Johnny's not acting right.
Yeah. And we're going to have a talk. News at 11.
There you go.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
The Fairbanks Clinic has been here for you since 1932, the year Amelia Earhart completed the first female nonstop solo flight across the Atlantic, the year BBC aired their first television broadcast. That was over 90 years ago, and they're still here, still taking care of you and your family. That's the Fairbanks Clinic in their beautiful building at the corner of Cushman and Gaffney. Call and schedule your appointment today with their family care practice. That's the Fairbanks Clinic, here for you since 1932.
Weather brought to you by GCR. Find Bridgestone and Cooper tires for every car, truck, motorhome, and SUV you drive. Everything you tow. GCR Tires and Service. The Tire Guys. Taming the Alaskan Road. Van Horn at Cushman.
KFAR. Weather.
A winter weather advisory continues until 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. Cloudy today, with snow likely, becoming mixed precipitation. High of 39, northeast winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Mixed precipitation likely again tonight, 18. About an inch of snow today through tonight. That's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have the frazzled Melissa Burnett in the studio with me.
You got the boxing gloves off today. Did not expect this, sir.
Sorry. Not.
I am not sorry. Yeah. Going back to the governor's bill, though, you know, I want to say this. I feel like the governor put that out for Anchorage.
I think he needed to put that out for Anchorage. Yeah,
absolutely. You know, and we're just a byproduct of getting thrown into that loop. Because yeah. Here in Fairbanks, we're doing those things. And in our last school board meeting, April Smith actually did an excellent job of pointing out how it is that we're doing those things. So it's, while people may get upset and be like, oh, the governor's bill, it's you know, because of Florida and all this. Well, it's because of Anchorage. Let's just call a spade here. It's because of Anchorage.
Yeah, it's a suburb of Seattle.
If you don't see the increase that you want in the BSA, you don't see the things moving in the legislature like you want to see, it's a direct result of Anchorage. Let's just call it what it is. You know, they've got a lot of problems down there. And I'm glad I'm not part of that school district. I've talked to many of their school board members between different meetings that we've had and down in Juneau and such. And, you know, they've got a lot to handle, and it really is a bummer that the rest of the school districts have to sit here, tread water with our heads barely floating, going, but hey, wait a minute, we're not Anchorage.
Yeah.
You know, and that's really what it feels like right now, is that we're treading water and we're just barely got our heads up there, and everything comes down. Even listening to the Michael Duke show this morning, I was listening to him, and, you know, he had a woman on talking about some bills that are going forward and such, and it really is a direct reflection of Anchorage, Los Anchorage, you know, suburb of Los Angeles, that's what we'll call it. So it's craziness. I hope that it gets better.
Yeah.
I hope that the legislature does see that there are things that we do need. You know, I know the PFD is a big fight, but education should be bigger, in my opinion. Education should be sitting on top. And right now what you see is the PFD and DHSS kind of sitting up there, right?
Well, yeah. And, you know, everyone, take a step back from the PFD. That mm-hmm. was settled in
yeah.
November. It
yep.
was settled in November.
Yep.
It was settled in November.
Yep.
Now, let the legislators who are elected go do what they are supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let them do their job.
Yeah.
Let them do their job. And hopefully they do it properly, you know. Good news is for education purposes, mm-hmm. you know, with the, what is it, the majority that they have, that they formed and whatnot, I do see good movement coming out of that. Talked with Senator Bishop yesterday, and that was a great conversation. Great guy, you know. He was like, I don't know why you're talking to me, Miss Burnett. Like,
I sit
on this side. So I'm like, well, Senator.
I'm going to have a conversation with you.
Yeah, I'm going to have a conversation with you anyway. So, you know, and point me to the guys who I do need to go talk with that are maybe not on your side. So it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out and what comes down. 650, I think, is what I saw last. But the Senate still has their bill out, which is like 1,000, I should say. So we'll see where those land and what happens. We still got a couple months here of going back and forth. I plan to get to Juneau here in a couple weeks and go down there and advocate my little heart out as much as I can. And
that's a good way to put it.
Really, they're going to get the storm and hurricane that is Melissa Burnett.
Yeah, you're not going to be begging.
No, I'm going to be telling them, hey, this is what we need and this is what it is.
You know, you have to be actual and factual.
Yes.
You cannot try and be roughshod or
weak, dramatic.
Or dramatic, yeah.
No. Tears aren't going to get it. They've seen the tears. They've heard the tears.
Yeah.
They've seen it all, right? Tears are not going to get it. You know, dramatics are not going to get it. Even if the dramatics are proper and the dramatics are exactly where we are, it's not going to do you any good. They need facts. They want to see it. And really, the big rhetoric coming out is they want to see results for the money they're putting out there. So how do you do that? I'm good with guardrails. I know most of our school board is good with some sort of stipulations being tied to the BSA. You know, as long as they make sense for education, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, make it make sense. We're fine with that. Because the students is...
Don't make it a punishing.
Yeah, right. Don't make it a punishing. Absolutely. But put some guardrails in it. You want to see test scores raise. You want to see reading, an improvement in reading. You want to see, you know, I had to laugh a little bit because this morning they were just raving on the fact that we are 98 or 58th or something like that now. And I was just like, that's only one up from where we were. That's not.
Or 47th.
Or something. Yeah, yeah, something like
that.
Yeah.
We're on the rise. We can't,
we're on the rise.
And
yeah.
That's the good news. The bad news, we can't get any worse.
Well, exactly. You know, but I'd like to see
more. I wonder if it's worse than us, like District of Columbia?
I don't know. Los Angeles. I had that answer about 2 weeks ago. We've got this whole paper that lays it all out. And it's pretty rough when you look at it and you're going, really? That's where they're comparing us to? Holy moly.
Yeah.
You know, because when you look at it as a new board member coming in, it, like, the craziness is not there. Our school district is a great school district.
Yeah.
Absolutely a great school district. We just had a few missteps and now we need to make the correction. And in 3 to 5 years, as long as we keep on that forward progress, we can make those corrections and we can be sitting back on top again. We don't have to flounder here in this area we are. But to get there, we're going to need help from the state legislature. The state legislature needs to do its job and properly fund education and not put it on the taxpayers like they're trying to do right now. They want the borough to foot the bill, which... We're a partner. We're in a partnership, and the borough, you know, according mm-hmm. to Alaska state statute, is supposed to help fund education.
What's the minimum that they're supposed to put in?
Like 30 million, somewhere around the
yeah.
30 million mark. I don't have the exact number, but
Do the borough assembly members understand that?
Yes, absolutely.
They all understand that you're supposed to have a minimum
yep.
to contribute.
Absolutely.
I'm sure with you, they do now.
Yes. Well, I actually had a very productive conversation with Aaron Lajewski, the chairman for our assembly. I had a great conversation with him, and they fully understand that there is a minimum that has to be given according to state statute.
Mm-hmm.
So they are very well aware of that. But yes, they're supposed to give us that minimum. I'd like to see the state do what they're supposed to do, what they haven't been doing for 17 years. It properly funded you. What is properly funded education look like? You know, our classroom sizes are smaller. We have the programs that we're supposed to have. And that's not just while people would just like to see reading, writing, and arithmetic in there. It's music. It's art. It's all those things. It's sports. I would love to see sports back. You know me. I'm queen sports mom, right? I am all about my son and his hockey and my daughter and her hockey and basketball and football. And I would love to see Lathrop's hockey program back. I would love to see all of it, right? But it starts with focusing on getting the legislature to fund education properly, putting those funds back into the classroom, which is towards their curriculum. We're facing $435 million or something, or sorry, $435,000 is all we have this year for curriculum, and we have five subjects that we have to replace curriculum for. It's not doable, right? So we need to put the money back into the classrooms, which is into the curriculum. It's into the maintenance. Hutch is still cold. Mm-hmm. Hutch is still having an issue with their heating. We got to get that fixed. You know, there's kids can't learn if they're cold. Kids can't.
Oh, really?
You would imagine how many times I have argued that.
Come on, you live in Alaska.
Oh, I know.
You got to suck it up.
But you wouldn't believe how many times I've had to argue that in the past 3 weeks, that putting money into Hutch's heating system is feeding the classroom. People will actually say that's not true, and it absolutely is. We had the principal of Hutch emailing us about how cold and about the students there at Hutch actually having to put their winter gear on just to sit through class and get through the teacher's explanation. How productive is that?
It's not.
Absolutely. And you wonder why test scores are dwindling. We have classrooms that are sitting there at 37 and 38 students right now. While our PTR may say 33, we've got 37 kids in the classroom. Next year, we're looking at 40 plus.
Wow.
How is that productive? It's not. So you want to see a change? That's where we put it. We've got to fix that.
How much can the borough give you that gets you out of this?
Honestly,
what's the number
that we really need to get us out of this?
$9
million.
$9 million.
We need about $9 million extra.
What did they give you last year?
$1 million. And tied with...
No, what was the total amount that came from the borough?
Oh, the total amount. I don't know last year's total
but they
amount.
They gave you an extra $1 million.
Yeah, they gave us an extra. So it was good. And what they did, so I was talking about guardrails and mm-hmm. putting stipulations behind the money. So that extra $1 million that came from the borough last year, they tied in with kindergarten aids.
Okay.
Easy peasy, right? Tie it to something.
Yeah.
We gave the kindergarten aids, we got the extra $1 million. It's what we needed. And we don't mind doing that. Okay, we will fiddangle and figure...
What we can do is we can fund this and take the fundings that we're going to use and put it for something else.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So, it all goes into the same pot.
Absolutely. $9 million is what it's going to take to fix it. If the state comes through with it, fantastic. You know, and...
With an increase in the BSA.
Yes, with an increase in the BSA, which we are going to see.
How many students do you have right now?
12,000 range-ish.
12,000
yeah,
plus.
Around 12,000 plus right now. So that's what we got. And we're looking at an increase next year. I don't have those numbers right in front of me, but we are looking at a few more students, somewhere around the 200 range.
So if you get a $500 increase per student, mm-hmm. that's basically $7 million.
Yes, and that will help.
Or $6 million.
Yeah, it will help tremendously. I would like to see $10 million. I'd like to see $9 million because mm-hmm. that'll give us our secondary PTR, elementary PTR, ELP. It'll give us our teachers. It'll give us everything we need, right? But again, I'm on the side of we're in a budget crisis, right? So we don't always get what we want. We don't get everything we want. My dad used to sing that song to me all the time. So as long as I can fix the PTR, I'll be all right.
Melissa Burnett, thank you very much.
Of course.
I will bet we'll be back after these messages.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
At least three children and three adults are dead following a mass shooting at a Presbyterian school in Nashville. Nashville police spokesman Don Aaron says the shooter was a 28-year-old woman.
We know that she was armed with at least two assault-type rifles and a handgun.
Aaron says the shooter, who gained entry to the Covenant School in Nashville by a side door, was shot and killed by responding police officers. That school has about 200 children enrolled. Demonstrations and strikes are continuing in Israel over proposed judicial reforms, which opponents say is a scheme for Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to escape corruption charges.
Security officials warn of a fracture in Israeli society that ultimately could lead to a deteriorating security situation.
Fox's Trey Yingst is in Jerusalem. This is a Fox News Alert.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
The Fairbanks Daily Newsminder reports that the Two Rivers Pleasant Valley Community Association rewarded two people for providing information leading to the arrest of the person charged in connection with the arsons in Two Rivers and Pleasant Valley in 2021. Jameson Gallion, who was 17 at the time, set fires to homes and businesses in the rural communities of Two Rivers and Pleasant Valley. Alaska State Troopers arrested Gallion on August 27th of 2021 on charges of arson, burglary, criminal mischief, and terroristic threatening. Gallion pled guilty to some of the charges last summer, and Superior Court Judge Paul Lyle recently sentenced him to 37 years in prison with 13 suspended and 10 years of probation. Community members created the Crime Stopper reward in the summer of 2021 to reward any person who provided information leading to the arrest and the conviction of the person responsible for the fires. Over 22 Rivers Pleasant Valley residents gathered on Saturday afternoon to present the award. Hard times make us better people, Wayne Shea, pastor of the Pleasant Valley Baptist Church, said to the group.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
I'm a goose watcher. I'm a goose watcher. Watching those geese drop by. My, my, my. I'm a goose watcher. I'm a goose watcher.
Springtime is goose watch time, and that means the return of the geese to Kramer's Field is just around the corner. Win $500 in cash, courtesy of Frontier Outfitters and Century Hardware, just for guessing when the first flock of Canada geese arrives. Enter Goose Watch 2023 at Frontier Outfitters in the Govora Mall or Century Hardware in the North Pole Plaza Mall. If your guess is the closest to the official time and day, you win $500. Visit KFARradio.com for details and official rules. Must be 18 or older. Be a goose watcher and win $500 cash.
I'm a goose watcher. I'm a goose watcher. Here comes one now.
Hi there, this is Doug Johnson with Johnson & Associates. I've been a personal injury attorney in Alaska for 28 years, and during that time I've been privileged to represent clients everywhere across our state, from Barrow to Ketchikan, and pretty much everywhere in between. My friend Ward Mertes has retired, and Johnson & Associates is now here in Fairbanks to continue the tradition of excellent service to Interior Alaska. Thank you for your service, Ward, and best of luck. Johnson & Associates, you hope you never need us, but we're here if you do.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Prison Studio, and we're going to take a call. Here we go. Good morning, you're on KFPR Radio, and your name is?
My name is Guy.
Hello, Guy.
Is Melissa still chained to the chair there?
Nope. She had an appointment that she had to go to, so I dragged her in here for the first half. What's on your mind, sir?
Oh, I wanted to talk to her. She's not going to be on this half hour, huh?
No, she's not.
Boy, I'm disappointed. I don't know if it makes sense to bend your ear with what I was going to say to her. I'll condense it. Because after she was on last week, I thought, well, I should have called in and contributed my experience. I went through a whole bunch of these school district presentations to the assembly.
Mm-hmm.
With a lot of people saying, don't you care about our children and isn't it better to give the school district money than to buy another pickup truck and all sorts of all sorts of conversations. I made an attempt. I don't know if you've ever looked at the school district budget. I suppose you've looked at the borough budget, which I, to my eyes, is very nicely organized. And in the borough budget, although it's 700 or 800 pages, you can go to a department and you can find out exactly what a person is paid, mm-hmm. nearest $10. It's very well done. The school district does not, unless they've changed it in the last couple of years, which I would doubt. I found the school district budget to be very, very difficult to pry any specific information out of, especially wage type information. Anyway, sitting there on the assembly, I was quite frustrated with the accurate stories that although borough government wages are regarded as pretty healthy, that the school district paid a great deal more money for the same labor. I kept hearing this year after year after year, and so I pursued it 1 year, and I guess this is the story I was going to tell Melissa. I pursued it 1 year, and I thought, how can I find somebody at the school district who's comparable to somebody at the borough? And I ended up, I stayed away from teachers' salaries. I stayed away from higher administration salaries. And I determined that there was one person who was the secretary to the school board, I suppose part of the administration, but down a few layers. And there was only one of her, one person. And the requirements for the job were comparable pretty much to one that we had at the borough, who was the secretary to the planning commission, borough planning commission. They both had some confidentiality requirements. They both worked evenings, various things. But the job descriptions seemed to be fairly similar. And I wanted to try to compare the wages of our planning commission secretary, which was very obvious in the planning section of our budget. I wanted to compare that wage with whatever the school district might pay their school district secretary, school board secretary. And I was quite amazed. It was quite a difference. And it reinforced my notion that the school district wages were way out of, I don't want to say way out of kilter, but greatly in excess of what we were paying at the borough. And generally feeling in the community, the borough wages are pretty healthy. Anyway, I made that comparison, and the person at the school district was making 50% more, I'll say.
Wow.
Probably instead of $20 something per hour, maybe half again as much. And I brought it up, I guess, in some work sessions and so on, and I got nowhere. And I was told that the only thing they said was, well, she's been there a long time, a lot of years, a lot of seniority. And I thought, well, not much of an explanation.
Yeah, it's based on seniority and length of service, not quality of service.
I don't think it is at the borough. I don't recall that planning commission secretary made more, dramatically more per year, but maybe. But anyway, it was quite a, now it doesn't make much impact because it's only one person, right?
Mm-hmm.
I specifically had gone after one individual, and I don't know the person, and it was nothing personal. I was just looking for one.
Yeah, so you get a standard of comparison.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I could have done it for janitors or who knows, repairmen, people fixing windows, doors. I didn't want to get into the teacher's side of things.
Yeah.
Frankly, I don't know what the comparable would be. But and I stayed away from higher level administration. But I was quite disappointed that the disparity, I guess you'd say, was so large. But anyway, I wanted to run that past Melissa, and if you see her,
I'll do that. Now, here's one for you. You should listen tomorrow, and because I have Mayor Bryce Ward on.
No.
And you can dig into some of the questions you might have about how the borough is being operated.
You know, I have to say, I think the mayor's jobs are underpaid. I'm not sure what he's making, but I'm quite sure our attorney makes more than he does.
oh, yes.
And, I mean, it's a fair wage, but I think quite a few of the people he's in charge of make more than he makes. I'll listen tomorrow if I have a chance.
Okay. Thank you very much for the phone call, Guy. You have a great day.
Okay, bye.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting when you're looking at wages, this reading in the paper that they're having a hubbub about the legislators' pay and the governor's pay and the commissioner's pay down in Juneau. And, you know, it hadn't been touched in 13 years. Now, you know, a lot of people have the philosophy that you should be doing this as a volunteer. Well, it's gonna cut your pool of available people to do it, because if it's a volunteer, it's someone who's retired or something like that. And it does. They have not had a wage increase in, my goodness, 13 years, and so it got voted up, it got voted down, it got voted in, it got vetoed. The veto didn't get overrided. But they're all getting pay raises, it looks like, so life goes on, and don't worry about it. There's far more larger financial problems out there in Juneau, the state of Alaska, the Fairbanks North Star Borough, the school district, than those pay increases. So just one of those things, I guess. And Fairbanks, we're going to take a final commercial break, and we'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Sometimes driving year-round in Alaska is more like maneuvering through an obstacle course than driving on actual roads. Snow and ice, water, gravel, and damaged roads? Ride the Bridgestone AT Revo 3 from GCR Tires and Service. Alaska proven, Alaska tough. The Bridgestone Dueler AT Revo 3 for your light truck, SUV, and CUV delivers a dominating off-road performance and a quietly civilized ride on the road. Buy yours at GCR Tires and Service. The Tire Guys, taming the Alaskan road. Van Horn at Cushman.
For more than 40 years, the Fairbanks Ear, Nose, and Throat Clinic has taken care of the Fairbanks community. From the thousands of patients cared for by our team of medical professionals to the nonprofits and community programs we support and sponsor, we want to make Fairbanks the best it can be. We're open and ready to serve you right now for any ailments of the head, neck, ear, sinus, or throat. To book an appointment or to find out more, you can log on to fairbanksent.com or call 456-7768. Fairbanks Ear, Nose, and Throat Clinic. Building community. Helping people. Changing lives.
Weather brought to you by Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing, offering 24-hour service from Salcha to Nanana and no mileage charge on callouts. The Bigfoot with the helping hand. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing.
KFAR Weather.
A winter weather advisory continues until 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. Cloudy skies today with mixed precipitation likely. Highs around 39. Southerly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Mixed precipitation likely tonight, 18. Chance of snow tomorrow, 33. About an inch of snow today through tonight. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Pruse in the studio here, and we're going to take a phone call. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Yeah, this is Robert Kennard.
Hello, Robert. How are you doing today?
Pretty good. I was hearing you all talking about wages on the radio today, and I was thinking about, you know, ever since I've been in the workforce, you know, and things, until things got really crazy in the later years, you know, I was telling somebody, I know that we're in tough inflation and everybody wants to get a raise and everything, but I can remember when I first got into the workforce, when I was in manufacturing and even working in farming and different things, you got paid for how well you performed and produced on the job. I don't mind paying somebody a good wage if they're going to bring a return to the company or something, but many times people are just in positions and they're just holding a spot, and now you got people that come to work, they get paid for 8 hours, but they may only do 2 hours worth of work because the rest of the time they're not really all that productive and things, and you know, you're in real estate, if you get paid by commission, if you don't sell, you don't make any money, you know, and so
and sell, lease, or manage, that's right.
Huh?
Sell, lease, or manage.
Yep. I mean, and so but you know, that's the problem that we have now, you know, and even in our with our politicians and things, you know, and I know they need to make a fair wage and everything, but they don't a lot of them already got money when they go down there. If they're not doing it, don't want to be a public servant and serve the people, then they shouldn't really run for office, because that's what you're doing. I mean, sure, everybody needs money and everybody needs something, but sometimes you wonder how much is enough, you know, it's just like that in everything, you know. And
okay, Robert, I'm going to take another phone call. You've lit up the lines here, okay? I appreciate it, sir. You have a great day. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Oh, this is Matt.
Hello, Matt.
Yeah, I just want to remind everybody that it's not entirely true that they haven't had a raise in 13 years. You got to remember, they've raised their per diem just during the pandemic here.
Yeah.
And it's as much as they're getting paid today. But last I heard, it was $360 and they're raising it. That's a lot.
Is it $360 a day?
Oh, $350. Okay.
$350.
That's still a lot.
Yeah, so basically at $350 a day, you're at, when you're down in Juneau, that's, say, $11,000 a month. So you're there for 4 months, you're getting $44,000, $45,000 in per diem.
And then you add that to their pay.
Yeah.
That's, no, not when we're hurting like this and they've taken the dividend so much for so long.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so. But that's just me.
Matt, I appreciate the phone call. You have a great day, buddy. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Good morning. My name is Mike.
Hello, Mike.
So I'm sure some of your listeners read Adam Wohl's Community Perspective recently about pay down in Juneau, and surprisingly, he said the pay was actually fairly good, although he didn't say they didn't need a raise. But the problem with Mr. Wohl's article or perspective was he didn't include one of the rather larger sources of pay, and that's campaign donations.
Mm-hmm.
Like people running for offices can use campaign accounts for a lot of different stuff, anything that's associated with your campaign. And our legislators are able to campaign from anywhere to from 9 months, 6 to 9 months a year. If they're not in session, they're campaigning. So it's a lucrative job. There's a reason that people stay in that job if they can for 20 years or more. There's a reason that people, such as Kathy Geisel, work hard to come back to that job after getting kicked out before. And it's really not about, you know, they care so much about the people they serve. There's money involved, and, you know, I just don't think they deserved a raise.
Well, what got me is, you know, you have two different parts here. What got me was the governor's pay, the lieutenant governor's paying the commissioners. And I thought those raises were deserved. I really did. You know, the commissioners, they're paid less than their people who work under them. They really are. And that's where a lot of the work is done. So when the legislature turned down those wages there, I thought, okay, we're done. Well, then that got vetoed by the governor. So it went back into effect, those wages. And then the Senate said, yes, we're just going to go with this. And the House, they tried to do something to stop it, you know, on their side, but they couldn't muster the vote. So I found the whole process is quite interesting. And all of a sudden, boom, here it is.
Well, it is interesting. And your point about the commissioners is correct, or I'll agree.
Yeah.
I don't know so much about the governor. The governor also has campaign money, and usually governors get, depending on who they're supporting and whatnot, you know, they get a lot of campaign donations. So.
Yes, they do.
so, you know, a commissioner doesn't campaign, so he's stuck with whatever the government pays him. But anybody who's a political candidate who gets elected has campaign accounts. There's a lot of money on the table sometimes for those people. So,
you know, it's interesting. A couple years ago, a Fairbankson came up to me and to talk to me about this person who was looking at running for governor. And I looked at him and I said, well, two things. How are you going to go out and raise $2 million? And he just looked at me shocked. I said, that's what it's going to take. You got to go out and raise $2 million. And I said, second, you have the wrong demographics. You're in from Fairbanks. You're not known in Anchorage. You're not known in Wasilla. You're not known in the Kenai. You're not known down there. The governor usually is somewhere based out of that area, that because they have more demographics in the newspaper and everything like that. So those are the two things working against you. Go raise $2 million and you're not from Anchorage.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'll give someone else a chance to call in, but I sure don't like the legislators get more money.
Yeah, well, guess what? I appreciate that. That's why we bring it up. And you can call in here anytime. And you spoke very well of it. You were not, you know, demeaning or anything like that. You gave very good facts, and I appreciate it. So, really, I really do. I appreciate your phone call.
Great. Like to hear you every day if you're on there, David. You have a good day.
You too. Bye. Yeah, it gets interesting. The Fairbanks City Council and the mayor, you know, I'm not looking for a raise, and no one in the city council has ever brought up, you know, the city council stipend is $500 per month. And, you know, you're not running there for a paycheck, that's for sure. And the wage that they pay me for being the mayor, it's a nice wage. It's not anywhere near what you're used to. I'm used to with what I do as a real estate broker, but guess what? You know, I didn't run for that as a wage, and anyway. So, and if to be as a mayor, if anyone's going to say, okay, David, we're going to give you a raise, what they have to do is if they did it today, it wouldn't take effect for another year. That way, you just can't arbitrarily give yourself a raise and a raise and a raise. It has to take effect after a year, after the ordinance is passed. And again, we're not looking at doing that down at the city. Borough, don't know. I think they might have a year or two ago raised their what they pay the assembly members. But don't quote me on that. But, you know, whenever you're looking at public money and what they're paid, it's always tricky at best. As Guy Satley brought up, he's trying to see what the difference between a borough and a school district employee was paid. And he found, boy, this is a big difference, you know, comparing two apples to each other. So it's always a little bit hard. The wage scale of the borough mayor versus the city mayor. Well, the borough mayor, they've got 400 employees. You know, the city has 200 employees. So there's probably going to be a difference there, and there is. So just those things that are there, simple as that. Tonight we have a city council meeting, a couple items on the agenda. We're having the final vote or reading. It might be postponed, it might not, and that would be the ordinance to hire more firefighters. We're going to take a phone call here. Good morning, you're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Leslie.
Hello, Lee.
Hey, in reference to discussion over our
vaunted legislative body getting a pay raise, or any elected official for that matter. The real question is, especially if they were quote-unquote re-elected to their position, what have they done for us to actually balance the budget, to actually make things better? And then we should balance their performance report card against any request for enhancement to their compensation package.
Lee, that'd be an incredible review. That would be that'd be something else.
Oh, yes, sir. You see, that's the whole point, that the public has been duped into believing that you can't hold these people accountable. And sooner or later, when they ask for a pay package, they get to vote themselves a pay package. Now, how cool is that?
Well, this was it's interesting how this happened. They have a commission that looks at the pay scales. Three are appointed by the governor, one is appointed by the president of the Senate, one is appointed by the Speaker of the House, and they go through and they look at everything, and they are the ones who set the amounts of what it should be. Now, if it's not vetoed or stricken out of legislation that automatically goes in, then it passes. And so it sounds like what happened was it was in legislation that for no one to get the raises, and then that legislation was part of a package, and then the governor vetoed that legislative package. So boom, in come the raises, and then neither body could warrant enough votes to overturn the veto or put in a separate bill to knock down the wages. So it got sort of controversial the way it all happened, to tell you the truth. The process was unique. And also, the pay raises themselves. So, sort of like a double whammy.
Absolutely. And one thing in reference to the little commission, if you go back and peel the onion a little bit, it would be interesting to find out how many of those folks were either still presently or former civil servants. In other words, been down in Juneau lapdogging it for years.
Yeah.
So, you make some good points, man, and thank you for keeping it real. We do appreciate it.
Appreciate it. You have a great day. Thank you, Lee. Yeah, interesting. And just the whole process. I mean, the whole process on what happened. Also, you have Adam Wohl write an op-ed piece on it. And, boy, just surprised on how it came to fruition by blowing up. But isn't that all government? Oh, my goodness. But, hey, anyway, and tonight we also have the first reading of an ordinance that takes the hotel-motel bed tax, and it does a different style of funding mechanism. Right now there's a percentages base. The city gets 22%. Explore Fairbanks gets an amount. Then in the past, the other groups, they shared about $270,000, and then Festival Fairbanks got about $30,000. So there's an ordinance that I wrote along with two other city council members, and it's the first reading tonight. So there's going to be a few things on the city council agenda. If anyone's interested in coming down or listening to it online, you can do that. And should be a fun meeting. You know, whenever you're looking at the firefighters and increasing it, you're going to have some very good vocal supporters for that. So I'm sure it will have a lot of public testimony in favor of it or opposed to it. You never know. But that's about it. That's our show for today. Tomorrow, I'll have Mayor Bryce Ward on, and we'll talk about what's going on down at the borough and all the entertainment that they have at their long meetings. And then on Wednesday, I have Joni Skillbred. And on Friday, I have Brad Keithley. We talk about economics with Brad. And that'll be the shows for the week. And you have a great day, and I will see you tomorrow.